I think I'll read a poem about some apple trees. I live, after living for many years in Detroit, which is surely the ugliest and most inhumane and violent, and in many ways the most wonderful of American cities. I mean, boy, you can have a real love-hate relationship with Detroit. It's really terrible, and yet once you get to know it, and you get to know some of the different ethnic groups that live there and that have preserved their own identity in very pure form. It gets to be very marvelous in Detroit. I was in Bulgaria a couple years ago, where I went to a dance contest in a hotel. A bunch of tradespeople were having, and they were all doing American dances. About 2 years old, they were offering prizes for the twist and the hully gully and stuff like that. And they said that anytime they want to learn Bulgarian dances, they send someone to Detroit. And they were serious. They do, because many of the dances and songs have been preserved there better than they were at home. All of the intellectuals there hang out in the Greek and Arabic belly dance joints. And all of my friends were always there. Anytime I had to... Well, for instance, the first poem I read tonight, I had to get some criticism one night. I had to reread it at Phi Beta Kappa, so I had to write it in a hurry and get some criticism in a rush. So I went down to the belly dance joint. And there, while the girl was going around between the tables getting her brassiere full of dollar bills, I was going around between the tables with my poem. And people were saying, okay, this goes down here. Wait a minute, that's no good at all. And this belongs up there, and you can certainly do something better than that. And I never got better practical criticism in my life. I mean, my brother was there, all his friends, all my friends, and, this is just where everybody hangs out. If you're in a place like that... Some of this turns up in the poem, some of the details of that. Nobody really pays much attention to the belly dancer in these places. She's just there out of piety. Really, I mean, you ought to have a belly dancer, so you have one, but nobody gets very much interested in that. It's much more interesting later in the evening, especially if there aren't too many tourists around. Then the kids from the island will start dancing. I mean, a lot of the Greek boys come there, and they will do the dances from their own islands, and these are quite wonderful. Many of these boys have won major prizes in Greece, and they're superb, magnificent dancers. And things really begin to get going then. I mean, it really gets magnificent and beautiful. But something much better than that, at this one place we used to go to, there was an old lady who came in, and she was very wonderful. She used to sell peanuts and things. And she must have, she was born at the age of 78. She was older than everybody you ever met. And she had had life so bad that she'd just been driven from country to country, and she had little chunks of she could speak practically any language, because any place you could mention, she'd lived there for a while before another army came romping through and chased her out, and she was very wonderful. And sometimes late at night she would dance. And then everyone would just simply go out of their minds with ecstasy, And yeah, if you like the dancers, you either send them drinks or you hiss. I mean, that doesn't mean disapproval. That means you think she's wonderful. And whenever she would dance, everybody would just simply, you'd just go wild. It was the greatest. She was very wonderful, and she was just terribly herself and, terribly different. Well, we don't live there now. We live outside of Syracuse, and we live way out in the woods in a place that we just plain love. We don't have mixed feelings about it at all. We can't see another house. And it was it's an old farm that was built by a Tuscan farmer who worked it with oxen, and we still find the oxen's hair mixed in the plaster of the house. It's simply marvelous. I spend my nights now, instead of going to belly dance joints, I'm running around the woods with a tape recorder taping the owls. We have very, very wonderful owls. I really love that old the old Tuscan farmer's orchard, which is full of old, warped, twisted trees. And I know I ought to cut them down. I mean, they're much too big. And you get to thinking that surely the trees in one orchard all ought to be leaning one way or something, because they've all had the same winds, you would think. But no, my trees, some are leaning this way, some are leaning that way. And they've got arms and legs in places, that nothing ought to have a limb. You read some of the scientific theorists, and you discover that a tree apparently has a sort of shape in mind that it thinks it ought to achieve. And you cut off its leader, and it sends up a substitute leader. It's trying to reach that sort of ideal shape for itself. you look at my trees and you think, whatever got into their minds? I mean, what have they been smoking? I mean, what in the world is happening? And I ought to cut them down, but I don't. I guess as you get older and more warped and twisted, or as you get older and notice how warped and twisted you are and always have been, you get fond of old, warped, twisted. You know, my neighbors out there are very rich lawyers who have enormous spreads of land, and they have wonderful orchards. The trees are all about 8 feet tall, the way apple trees are supposed to be, and they stand there in perfect lines. And that looks so suburban somehow that, you know, also I can afford to sneer at his orchard because he lets me take the apples. My trees don't produce anything. Now, this is called Old Apple Trees. Like battered old mill hands, they stand in the orchard, like drunk legionnaires, heaving themselves up, lurching to attention. Not one of them wobbles the same way as another. Uniforms won't fit them. All those cramps, humps, bulges. Here a limb's gone. There, rain and corruption have eaten the whole core. They've all grown too tall, too thick, or too something. Like men bent too long over desks, engines, benches, or bent under mail sacks, under loss. They've seen too much history and bad weather, grown around rocks, into high winds, diseases, grown too long to be willful, too long to be changed. Oh, I could replant, bulldoze the lot, get nursery stock, all the latest ornamentals, make the whole place look like a suburb, each limb sleek as a teeny bopper's, pink to the very crotch, each trunk smoothed, ideal as the fantasy life of an ad man. We might just own the arboreal muscle beach. Each tree disguised as its neighbor, or each disguised as if not its neighbor. Each doing its own thing, like executives' children. At least I could prune. At least I should trim the dead wood, fill holes where rain collects and decay starts. Well, I should. I should. There's a red squirrel, nests here somewhere. I live in the hope of hearing one saw-whet owl. Then, too, they're right about spring. Bees hum through these branches like lascivious intentions. The white petals drift down, sift across the ground. This air is so rich, no man should come here except on a working pass. No man should leave here without going to confession. All fall apples nearly crack the boughs. They hang here red as candles in the white oncoming snow. Tonight, we'll drive down to the bad part of town, to the new Hungarian bar or the Klub Polski, to the old Hellas, where we'll eat the new spring lamb. Drink good Mavrodofny, say, at the Lycon bar. Send drinks to the dancers, those meat cutters and laborers who move in their native dances, the archaic forms. Maybe we'll still find our old crone selling chestnuts, whose toothless gums can spit out 15 languages, who turns there late at night in the center of the floor, her ancient dry hips wheeling their slow, slow tsamikos. We'll stomp under the tables, whistle. We'll all hiss till even the belly dancer leaves, disgraced. We'll drive back, lushed and vacant, in the first dawn. Out of the light gray mists may rise our flowering orchard, the rough trunks holding their formations like elders of Colonus, the old men of Thebes tossing their white hair, almost whispering. Soon, each one of us will be taken by dark powers under this ground, that drove us here, that warped us. Not one of us got it his own way. Nothing like any one of us will be seen again forever. Each of us held some noble shape in mind. It seemed better that we kept alive.